Blog Talk Radio.
Governor, it's your turn.
Well, listen, I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
A year and a half after January 6th, the date much in the news right now, it's interesting that even the most basic questions about what actually happened that day remain mysteriously unanswered. First and most obviously, if you've seen the tape, why did law enforcement open the doors of the building and let protesters walk right into the Capitol? That's bizarre behavior, no matter what they say. So why did it happen? And then once it did happen, why did authorities lie to the country for months and tell us that Officer Brian Sicknick had been murdered by the mob when, in fact, the medical examiner determined that he died of a stroke hours later? Just tonight on CBS News, we were informed just a moment ago, as Nora O'Donnell stared on like it was true, that five police officers were murdered by the mob on January 6th.
Good evening. I'm Diana. Russ, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, Diana.
Yay, good. I was playing around with the switchboard for a little bit, trying to find some music. They got some neat little things in there, quacking ducks, and I always like to play around. There's like so many different clicks. So. And eventually you'll learn that too. So I want to welcome you to the show as my new co-host. This is so exciting because somebody totally like-minded, especially that talks about the chemtrails, because we all know that it's hard to find somebody like-minded like that, that actually believes in them and doesn't have to be educated. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're getting hit so hard right now, it's just crazy. But, very, very familiar
so
with
bad.
It. Very familiar with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I try to post pictures of those. And, in fact, for people that are tuning in, on our Facebook page, I'll probably post some pictures of ones that I saw going on today. And really, really bad today. Just disgusting. And I tagged you in a couple of posts actually on Facebook of a couple of other friends of mine that are pretty heavily involved in that too. So maybe you'll be able to talk to him at some point. But I just want you to take a second because our guest hasn't called in yet. So take a second and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Russ Tanner. I founded GlobalSkyWatch.com. I learned about chemtrails in 2005 because I smell them and taste them, and they started hitting us in 2005 in Jamestown, New York, which is where I lived, which I guess is in the great state of New York. Anyway, so I ended up having a long life of learning about the way the world works. I had poisoning from my amalgam fillings. Took me a few years to figure out, 5 years to figure out what was wrong with me. And then when I found out 3 weeks later, my amalgams were safely removed and my life changed forever. Then 4.5 years later, we started getting sprayed with chemtrails. And I smell them and taste them since that day to this very day. And right here, as I breathe the air this day, it is so bad. And I see people suffering. Most people don't smell and taste them. Some do. I know a lot of people do online especially. But even people who don't, they suffer. So that's where I'm coming from.
I definitely do. But I'm pretty sensitive to all that kind of stuff, being, you know, a Lyme disease patient and then going through years and years of alternative treatment and then, you know, just learning and getting educated and, you know, going on to school for those kinds of things. I think the more clean you are and the more you're into those kinds of things, the more you notice it. You know, because I'm pretty sure that you and I are the type that are not going to McDonald's to eat and poisoning our body. So, you know, I mean, even for me,
no.
Not just the chemtrails, but when I take something in that my body doesn't agree with, I mean, I know almost instantaneously.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very sensitive to things, and I learned a lot over the years because the company that I co-founded with my business partner does herbal and nutritional research, and we have since we founded 1997. We actually were doing it long before that, but that's when we founded the company. And we learned all kinds of cool things about the catecholamethyl transferase. Why do you feel anxious? Why can't you sleep at night? Chemtrails, how do they affect it? Mercury, why are autistic kids hyper a lot of times? And that has to do with their inability to break down adrenaline and dopamine and norepinephrine. And so it's been because I was a sensitive person. By the way, sensitive smell, most people don't know that. Very few people know this, in fact. But a study shows that people who had stressful childhoods or been exposed to high levels of cortisol for periods of time are those who develop hypersensitive senses of smell and taste. And I'm one of those. So
yep.
Stressful life.
You and me both. You and me both. That could be a topic for another show that we could do, to be honest with you, because it very much is true. And you were saying about it being so sensitive to certain things. I think, you know, the MTHFR gene has a lot to do with that, too. You know, people don't methylate properly. And I think there's, what, maybe 40 or 50% of the population that actually have MTHFR, and they don't even know it. You know, when I went up for all that genetic testing, when I went for the genetic testing and I found that out, you know, I was able to change a lot of my supplements around and a lot of things that I was doing, knowing that, you know, I can't methylate properly.
Yeah, absolutely. I did the same thing with COMT. It's called catecholamethyltransferase test. And this affects 80% of Americans, actually, statistically. 30% are dramatically affected. And it's the inability to break down adrenaline and the other catecholamines, things that make you hyper. And this can be accentuated. These are particularly sensitive people. And the problem is mercury actually stops the COMT molecule, that molecule that breaks this stuff down, from being produced. So mercury, by definition, makes you hyper, raises your adrenaline. And mercury has been found in chemtrails. So everybody's being exposed. So here we go. You know, it all ties together.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of listeners because there's a lot of people that are interested in the chemtrails, you know, and I get private messages a lot all day long, like, what can we do about this? And, you know, so, you know, we don't have to obviously talk about it all tonight. You know, that's not the point of this show, but definitely something that, you know, probably will be brought up every show. And you were talking about the mercury. I mean, think of the amount of mercury that they put in these vaccines, right? And these kids are having 72 vaccines by the time they're 18. And, you know, they're filled with mercury. You know, we all know that these heavy metals deposit into the brain. And, you know, you have the elderly that are going for flu shots, and there's mercury and aluminum in these flu shots. And people do not seem to make the connection that Alzheimer's really is heavy metal poisoning for all intents and purposes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no debate about it. I mean, Dr. Boyd Haley actually discovered all doctors today know that the APOE genotype, this is about your lipid carrying system in your body, your apolipo, APOE3 are the ones who are at highest risk for Alzheimer's. Well, what makes APOE3 different than the other genotypes for the lipo, the apolipo proteins? What makes them different is the APOE3s can't detox mercury from the fat system. That is the thing that sets them apart. This is what Dr. Haley, one of the things he discovered, and you know what the, what the National Institutes of Health did after he did that, is they shut down all, and I'm not making this up, this is right from his own mouth, you can see him in the interviews, they actually shut down all mercury funding for the NIH after Boyd Haley made a couple of wonderful, amazing discoveries about the connection with Alzheimer's and with autism. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I totally believe it, and there's a lot of studies out there that they try to hide from us. So I kind of want to get into, because I know our guest is waiting, and I did fill him in that we kind of do an update on current events before you know, we bring him on. So obviously the big talk of what's going on right now is what's going on in Israel and in Hamas, you know, and that's just kind of one big disaster going on. And you know, it's almost, this is almost a tough one for me. And I follow all of this stuff all day long. And, you know, following it on Telegram, it's getting a little bit overwhelming, and it's getting a little bit hard to keep all the facts straight. But, you know, I don't ever trust the mainstream media, which, thank God, that's a good thing. But, you know, even it's hard, getting hard to distinguish, you know, what's really going on over there. But if it continues, I'm afraid we are going to be in World War III faster than, you know, most people can sneeze. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that's the point. That's what this is all about. I have a very conspiratorial worldview. I've been studying since I started learning in the mid-80s, and I really started studying intensely in the very early 90s. And when you put the pieces together, you've got the same law system, you've got the same financing, you've got the same cast of characters that have the same belief systems that are running all the countries of the world. I mean, while people were being entertained in the world and singing and dancing and doing the things and working and trying to make a living, there was a group of very powerful people that were sequestering the power and aligning all the nations together. And so this is the whole point, is to bring in central government. And this is where this is all going. And we talked about this in the early 90s. We knew this was coming. We know, in fact, I feel that I know the things that are coming next. And it's all planned. It's all planned far in advance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary because their agenda, when you look just over, you know, since 2020, how fast it's moved. I mean, I was in a store today, and they had the pay with your palm thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, that wasn't even there a couple of weeks ago. You know, so, you know, and this is, you know, these are the kinds of things that they're moving us towards. If you don't pay with your palm and you're not registered with your chip, you know, you don't get to get groceries. So, and
right,
I
and
feel
know where
like
this is going, right? I mean, sounds familiar, right?
Yeah, it totally does. And I feel like, you know, I feel like not enough people. There's people that are waking up, but I still don't feel like there's enough. You know, I feel like people are more worried about their damn football team and what they're doing and getting together and having a drink on Friday night, and they're not realizing that, you know, you give them bread and circuses, and that's what they're. That's what they're worried about. Like, I literally can't stand that. Like, I could care less about football. With all due respect to everybody that likes it, that's great. And I used to like it, too, before I found out the truth about, you know, even just the whole organization.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I you know, now, once I started learning how the world really works, and I took an interest at, you know, a younger age. I've been in it for a while. But, I mean, it's like, people are not waking up. I totally agree with you. A lot of people are. I mean, there's what I call a polarization going on. A lot of people are waking up, and they're beginning to get involved, beginning to care, at least, or they don't know what to do, but at least they're learning. And then you've got another group of people that will do anything they can to stay in denial. So it's a really interesting polarization that's going on, which does create, unfortunately, a very difficult situation when you have that kind of polarization. So interesting time indeed.
It's like almost every day you have to try to pull, like, you know, because I'm 50, I'll be 52 years old, you know, in December. And, you know, when you're our age, I think you're pretty close to my age. When you're our age, you knew a different kind of life, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And even though the central planners were still in the middle of that, it wasn't as advanced as it is now. You know, we didn't have the computers and the technology and all that stuff. You know, we played outside, which, you know, is totally different than what these kids do now in this generation. So it's almost like a, for a better word, it's almost like a grieving process that you go through when you start to learn the truth that pretty much everything that you knew, you know, as a kid was a downright damn lie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the moment of decision for me. Maybe I'll say it sometime in a future show or something. It was not a long story or anything, but I mean, I remember that it was so dreadful because I saw the lies going on, the bold-faced lies that media was telling in front of my face, and I didn't want to believe the world was that way. And it was hard. It was scary. But I said I have to put the truth before how I feel about it. And that, to me, is what the great polarization is. This is what it all comes down to, is the world is being divided into those who put truth above how they feel and the other people who put how they feel above truth. And you can divide the whole world into those two separate groups, and that's what we see happening today, at least in my opinion. That's what I see.
Yeah, I agree. And I just got an email through the radio show email, and which I have to change the name on that. But anyway, somebody was asking about the zeolite because we were talking about the chemtrails in the beginning and the zeolite that helps detox heavy metals. And the website for that, Michelle, is hopehealth.thegoodinside.com. So it's hopehealth.thegoodinside.com. And so I use that product. So good product to have. So anyway, so leading into our show with Mr. Franklin, that's going to be coming on, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I called him Dave. Great guy coming on the show. He's going to be running for a local election, and you know we're going to find out about him. But obviously, the big tune where I am right now is you know the local elections that will be going on, and you know that's obviously not just you know statewide, but you know all over the place. So. I'm kind of on the fence with the whole election thing after I found out what happened with, you know, the election fraud. And, you know, I've had the New York State audit on this show several times, you know, and, you know, they have proof of the fraud and of course they're always shut down. And it's funny how, you know, that the truth always seems to get censored nowadays. So that's kind of a big buzz is the local elections. And then that's going to lead us into our guest. So any other kind of things that you kind of want to bring up with world events that are going on, anything that you want to touch base on?
Well, there is so much going on. I guess I'll just have to follow your cue in terms of what Dave would like to talk about or what he wants to share with what he's doing or what he plans on doing. But I know there's so many big issues today because the world is going down very quickly, down a very bad, dangerous path, and we need people in office who know what to do and are willing to stand up for the truth, and we need the elections fixed. Talking about election fraud, I've had stuff on my website about election fraud for about 12 years now, and it's like this has been going on for a long time. You know, I don't think the world would be a different place if we would fix the voting system, but yeah, there's a lot we could talk about because there's so much going on.
And the CDC, they're crying, you know, wolf right now because 50% of Americans are not willing to get the flu vaccine right now. And, you know, I'm big into the whole vaccine thing. And so 50% are not willing to get the flu vaccine. That's actually a pretty high number compared to what it was last year. So I feel like maybe people are starting to, I'm hoping, this is what I'm hoping, that they're starting to maybe wake up a little bit with what happened with this whole COVID jab, and maybe realizing that, you know, there is some dangers in any vaccine, period. So.
Yeah, that's a great subject. I mean, the thing is about the flu vaccine, the multivalent flu vaccine has mercury in it. Mercury causes 200 of the most common diseases in the world today. This is according to late Dr. Hal Huggins, which was one of the leading researchers on the subject. 200 of the most common diseases today can be connected with mercury. And, in fact, I would say that people have asked me, like, why do you try to connect all these diseases with mercury? And I say, you're thinking of it backwards. The reason we have the predominating diseases we have in the world today is because of the mass exposure to mercury. The pharmaceutical industry loves to get mercury in people. Think about this for a second. Why would you put the world's most toxic non-radioactive substance into people's bodies? That is not a scientific act. No scientist in their right mind would ever, ever do that. And yet they've been doing it for decades, and they do it with a flu shot. So I'm glad to see, you're right, people are waking up, and there's a great polarization, but a lot of people are waking up. So I'm glad to see that at least. But that makes it dangerous times, though, too, because the powers that be are being pushed into a corner. And when that happens, then they make big moves, and that's what we're seeing happen now, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If they feel like they're losing their grip, then they're going to do something. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, a certain five cities, that something's going to happen with the water by the end of December, that there's going to be, you know, something else, some kind of big, huge distraction. So I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, I don't really feel like popping the popcorn and sitting back and watching anymore. It's just kind of like, okay, just drown it in butter if we're going to have to do that, because it's, you know, it's kind of stressful. It's kind of stressful. And you know, when you're doing a radio show like this and then you run other, you know, things that I run, like I still run Free NYS, even if I'm not in New York. I'll always fight for New York. But it's kind of like, you know, people look to you for these everyday answers, and sometimes I just simply downright don't have them. You know, I just don't have them or I do have, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll, you know, like I have this one girlfriend, she just constantly all day long is texting me and asking me this, and this. And I'm thinking, for the love of God, do some research. You know, I'm not an encyclopedia all day long. So people have got to start, you know, doing their own research too. But we'll get off that soapbox. So I want to bring up
that. That's a good thing though. You know, it's a good, I had that happen when the whole, the COVID fiasco and disinformation started, is I had people start calling me saying, what do you think about the people who I you know, I try to talk to, and they don't want to hear this stuff, right? Well, now the conversation has turned, and now they're calling me. Now they're talking, you know, now they're asking me questions. I'm like, okay, this is a good turn, you know. This is a good change. People are now seeking information. So at least there's that silver lining in that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you, if it wasn't for my girlfriend Catherine, and I mention her every week, and I'm going to have to set you up with her on Facebook, because she's another one that, I mean, she's taught me for the last 15 years everything that I know, and whenever she says something, it always happens. So today her whole thing was, oh, you know, you're going to have your one protein bar, and I'm thinking, oh, God, please, you know what I mean? Not ready for that yet. But she's pretty spot on about everything, which is pretty scary. But, you know, that's what she does. It's the majority of, you know, what she does is research. And, you know, she's real knowledgeable, kind of like you are. So I lost my screen completely. Ah, okay. So I think that Dave should be unmuted. Dave, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you today?
Can you hear me? Yay! I get to hear your voice and... person. That's so cool.
Absolutely. How are you? Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me. And thank you, everybody out there.
Yeah,
I know you'd rather be listening to Biden speak than us, but, you know.
Yeah, it's got that little bit of New York accent going on, you know, because you're, you know, it's from New York. But anyway, just a quick, we're going to have you tell everybody who you are and just give us a quick synopsis. And then we'll have to go to commercial at 8. But there is a slight delay because it's live radio, so just to make you aware of that. So
what,
why don't you just give
delay?
Us a little bit of the...
Okay.
Yeah, a slight delay with
how much time?
Yep.
How much time before you go to break? Because I worked in radio and television for a long time, so how much time do you have before you go to break?
4 minutes. Yep, 4 minutes.
Okay.
So just give us a quick synopsis about what you're running for and who you are.
I'm Dave Franklin. I'm a Republican. I'm running for the council position in the town of North Hempstead, representing Port Washington, New York, down here on Long Island, or to make you happy, Long Island, if you like the accent. I'm running because I hate politics. I'm running to try to make a difference. My motto is people over politics. I'm running because we're paying too much taxes, and if you look at what's happening in the world, prices are skyrocketing. Everywhere you go, what you used to spend $100 for would bring 5 bags of groceries. You're now going home with 2. At the local level, we've got to be able to take better care of the people and cut their taxes down because they're spending it everywhere else. Public safety is a key. Just making sure that the cops do their job, that they're out there. We're very fortunate in Port Washington. We have our own police force, Port Washington Police Department. I was the commissioner there for 9 years, an elected position. People here are very safe, and they're very conscientious. They look out for the community, so we're fortunate there. But we're starting to get crime. We're getting the immigrants coming in from New York City that are coming out to Long Island that don't speak the language, that don't have a job. People are scared. And it's just getting back to some sort of sense of sanity, you know, and just getting government off people's backs. We shouldn't be telling people what to do. We should just be providing them the opportunity to do what they want.
Yeah, and I think that people have kind of forgotten that they, you know, they look to their government for everything when actually it was supposed to be we the people. You know, they
exactly.
were supposed to be, you know, working for us, not telling us what to do.
Exactly right. It's 100%. That we should be providing the services that the people need, and that's it. We've got to get government off people's backs and let people live their lives. It's just, you know, make sure that they're safe. Make sure their taxes are low because the people know how to spend their money better than the government does. And make sure the roads are good and make sure the water runs and make sure the electricity runs, and then say goodnight.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get into some of the legislation that New York, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the Assembly and the Senate, too, and some of the draconian legislation that they've not only passed in the past, but, you know, what's coming in the future and how you'll feel about that. So we're going to go to our first commercial, 3-minute commercial. Both of you guys just have to hang on the line, just like last time you were on the show, Russ. Just going to mute you both, go to commercial. Diana and Russ, delivering the truth and exposing the lies. We will be back in 3 or 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Previously on, what the media won't tell you about King Charles III.
Included in the list of potential godfathers for his son Harry was none other than Jimmy Savile, English TV and radio personality, host of Jim'll Fix It. Charles was...
Tucker is gone, and now we can get on with a proper democracy that functions well, where everyone accepts the results of elections, particularly now Fox has had to pay...
Madam Speaker, I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position, military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military...
Okay, you guys there?
We're here. I'm here.
We're here.
Okay, so sponsors are paid. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about your when you were commissioner of the police. I'd be interested to hear.
What would you like to know? We had a force of 65 uniformed officers. We had a $20 million budget, and that was for about 19,000 people in town. And it worked very well. We negotiated fair contracts with the PBA that are still saving the community money now. I won't get into the specifics, but everything we did was to work to save money. We gave the best possible service for the least possible price, and that's what government should be all about. The mm-hmm. government that we have now, the local board, it's been democratically run for over 35 years, I believe. So we have a Republican supervisor and a Democratic-controlled board, and all they've done is obstruct what the supervisor's trying to do. And they mm-hmm. forgot that they took an oath of office and not an oath of party. It's just, and then the end result is the people get hurt. They're the only ones that are suffering. This is not about running for higher office or, you know, fame or whatever. This is public service. And I think that's what a lot of people have forgotten. Get politics out of the way and get back to public service.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how do you feel about what they've done with the police as far as cutting the funding and bail reform? What do you think about that?
Well, bail reform just killed us. I mean, you have years ago, there was a story about a young guy who had brutally punched an older woman in the face. She was in her 60s or whatever. Punched her, left her bloodied. He was back on the street before the cop was even finished with the paperwork. You know, and it's just, it's frustrating for the police because they can't do their job because even if they arrest them, the prosecutors are letting them out. It's sad. You look at what's happening with looting. You know, the stores... We're yelling. I see down here there's some stores that were yelling at employees and fired employees for trying to stop the looters because they just figured out insurance was covered. We've gone, I would say, crazy, but that's an insult to crazy. It's we're beyond crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We're just ass backwards. When the police don't get the support that they need, nobody wants to be a cop anymore. I know the Washington police and Nassau County, where I live, are trying to recruit officers. Nobody wants the job because they're not getting the support. And you know, the criminals laugh at them. You know, there was one guy in the city, I believe, that was arrested for the 137th time. And as he was released without bail, he thanked Governor Hochul. He thanked the Democrats for letting him out for the bail reform.
My God, that's pretty pathetic. So, Russ.
It is. And you know, they laugh about it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they just They have no feelings. They don't care at all. Russ,
no.
If you check your private message, I sent you some of the questions that were sent in to the radio show so you can join in on this conversation if you check
okay.
your private message. Okay. So obviously you're running for office, so these issues are going to come up, you know, not just in your town. They come up in every town. You know, last week we had on a town supervisor that's rerunning, and he was talking about some of the issues in Western New York, which is another whole tire fire, which is where I'm originally from, is Western New York, kind of. I'm originally from D.C. and then Western New York, and now, you know, amen to that. But, you know, he was talking about some of the things that you were just mentioning, the illegals, you know, and he said, like, one of the first things he would do is, like, get rid of them because they are here and they're getting $2,700 for rent if they want to rent. They're getting three meals a day. They're getting hotels that are $200 a night. And, of course, the developers are getting that money. What are you going to do about the illegals if you get into office? What would you like to do?
Well, first of all, it's a sin. We're all immigrants. You know, we've all come, unless you're a Native American, we've all come from somewhere else. First of all, it's insulting to our ancestors, our grandparents, great-grandparents who came here, did it the right way. Think about, you know, all the old films you see with people online at Ellis Island. You know, people that have come through the process, done it properly, and now all these people are just breaking through. They're guests at a club, like they're getting through the velvet rope. It's insulting to them. At one point are we full? You know, that we have to keep this in check. Look at what's happening in the world. We were talking before about Israel and Hamas. How many terrorist cells do you think we have in this country right now? People that have just walked or swum across the border. They have no clue who's in this country. And it's going to come back to bite us in the ass. We've got to get something in check. We've got to find a way to start. You know, one thing people don't realize is when we're talking about building a wall, it wasn't a wall without a door. You know, there was a way in, but there was a legal way in. And that's what we've got to get back to. It's a thing. Even the current administration is admitting, yeah, we need a wall. You know, you look at Eric Adams in New York City. Oh, yeah, we're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary state. Come on in. And now they're telling him, no, go to a different state.
You know, there's a lot of talk. Oh, go ahead, Diane.
No, I was going to say, Russ, you want to pick up on what he just said?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's interesting. Good to meet you today, by the way. I haven't spoken to you before. This is Russ.
Russ, nice to know you.
Yeah, you too. You know, it's interesting. I've floated this idea out there, and I think, you know, didn't they used to do this, or wouldn't this be a good idea? It's like, I agree with what you're saying. You know, you've got to make a proper way for people to enter. What about, and a lot of people are worried that a lot of people who are coming in are going to change the political climate, and maybe that's part of the reason why certain administrations are letting so many people in, because they're hoping to change the political climate in the United States. What about something like this? I mean, what about if you're going to qualify, and I don't know if this has been done historically, but maybe you know, you know, if you want citizenship, that you pass a test that you understand the fundamental freedoms and principles of responsibility, because freedom comes with responsibility, of what the Constitution talks about, what the responsibilities of being an American are, what these basic principles of freedom are, what's expected of somebody. You know, welcome people in, but yet they, if they want to qualify, they have to understand and show through a test or some sort of qualification like that, that they understand these principles. And then...
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. What do you think?
Go ahead. Continue your thought.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just saying, is that if you, instead of, so that people don't have this feeling that people are being led in, because I agree, you know, our ancestors are, unless you're Native American, our ancestors are all immigrants, of course. What about making sure that those people who come in understand what the responsibility of being an American is, what the principles of freedom are, what the Constitution actually says, instead of coming in and saying, oh, we're going there because we're going to get paid to live, we're going to get paid to eat, we're going to get everything for free, but have them understand what the actual principles are, and that would be a qualification for citizenship. Just floating an idea like that, what does that concept sound like to you?
Well, there is actually a citizenship, and while you were talking, I was I'm looking up some of the questions are. There is a citizenship test that you need to take. What is the supreme law of the land? What does the Constitution do? The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What is an amendment? What is one right or freedom from the First Amendment? Things like that. There are the rule of law, one branch of the government you have to name. What stops one branch of government from becoming too powerful? There is a citizenship that you have test that you have to take. I believe it's 100 questions.
Now, the immigrants that are coming in, do you know if they're being qualified that way right now, or is that being...
No. Are you talking about people that are coming in legally, or people that are just jumping the wall?
I think even the illegal people coming in are getting everything paid for at this point, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's a hotel in Manhattan that threw out homeless so that the illegals could come in. They put the homeless that were being housed in there, put them on the street so that they could move the illegals in. Here in Manhattan, when the illegals first got here, they were giving them sandwiches and whatnot and food, and they were throwing the food away because they didn't like it. They wanted their own food. You know, when you think about if you're coming here for the right reasons, if you're coming here for the freedoms we provide, for the opportunities we provide, you know, you thank God that you get here, that you got here, and you do everything you can to make sure that you're doing it properly. How many people are just getting the free ride and are coming here for all the benefits?
Yeah.
Right? If you advertise that you're getting a free ride, you're going to attract people looking for a free ride. But if you advertise that you have opportunity here, but you're going to have to work for it, you'll attract a different kind of people perhaps.
Exactly, and most immigrants that come here want that opportunity. They want better lives for their families. They want to be able to work. They have skills. You know, they have talents. You look back at the turn of the century, back in the 1900s, when I was just a boy. No. I'll get back to that later. When you're talking about being 52, you kids today don't know what it was like. No. you think about all this skilled labor that came over, the people that built the bridges. You know, it was immigrants that built this country, the tailors, the craftsmen that came over here, the woodworkers. People came over with skills, and they were proud to be an American. They were proud that they spoke the language. Now, you press 2 for Spanish, you press 3 for German, you press whatever number, you're up to pressing, 37 for left-handed Croatians. Nothing against left-handed Croatians, but, that's the extreme to which we've gone.
No, it's true. I mean, you press 1 for English, and you don't talk to somebody that speaks English anyway. I'm like, my God, can I please, I can't understand you. I can't understand what you're saying.
Because you're absolutely right, because everything is farmed out. Everything is outsourced to to India and other countries like that. And then granted, you're giving them an opportunity, but they don't know what they're talking about. You know, and as you said, if it's an accent, you can't really pick up on a dialect. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, and I think you kind of alluded to that fact at the beginning of our conversation that, perhaps they're being planted here for a reason, rather than just being let in for, shits and giggles. So I'm going to move on to the next question. There's somebody from your area, actually, and ironically, his name is Dave. He says Dave's from Nassau County. Says, how do you feel about gun control?
I believe that everybody has the right to bear arms. I mean, it's just there's got to be better education. You you can't just give a gun to anybody. You've got to keep it in check, keep the gun safe. How many people get stabbed? How many people get killed by an animal? It's a stupid answer. It's just people have the right to bear arms, especially these days with crime as it is. You have the right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. You have the right to defend your home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of wisdom why that was made that way, because guess what? If you have somebody walk into a shopping center, if they think they're going to get away with it because the whole shopping center is disarmed, they're much more apt to do it. But anybody who thinks about, hey, I'm going to go rob or I'm going to go bring a gun and shoot some people in a certain place, and they know that they're going to be an armed citizenry waiting there for them, they're going to know that they're signing their death warrant, and you're going to cut crime way down, in my opinion. What do you think?
I think so too. I think again, there's no fear of reprisal with the criminal, and sadly, you're in a position, especially when you get overpopulated and there are fewer jobs, where you have people that want to be in prison. It's three hots and a cot, as they used to call it. You know, it's cable TV. It's a full workout facility. There are some people that have a better life in prison, sadly.
Yeah.
You know, that goes back to education and parenting, and that's a whole other kettle of fish.
I know that with gun control, there's so many examples of lives that have been saved, and so not gun control, but gun freedom, the right to bear arms.
Right.
You know, I know of a church in one of the famous examples that big media won't talk about is there was a church where a guy went in and started shooting up a church in Texas. And you don't do that because in Texas, you got a lot of armed people, and they took the guy down. They took the armed guy, and they saved a lot of lives. And this
exactly
kind of thing
right.
happens all the time. So there's a reason why those laws and those rights were given to people, because there's a lot of wisdom
mm-hmm.
behind there, you know?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you think, Diana?
Oh, I think that I probably carry. Just saying.
The insanity of the idea where the administration says, oh, my gosh, we're having all kinds of people doing shootings. We got to take away all the guns of the citizenry.
Right.
That's the opposite
and
of what you
wonder
should
wonder how many of these shootings were false flags, just saying. You know, that because it's interesting how there were several shootings before Hochul went in and passed all those new gun laws. And ever since those new gun laws have gone in, I haven't seen too many shootings going on at all. I mean, you hear, obviously there's, you know, the single shootings or whatever that you don't hear about. You may hear something on the news. But I'm talking about a big shooting where somebody's going in and, you know, taking down a Tops Market, right? So, just saying.
No,
yeah, I
agree
with what
they said.
I mean, it's about training. You know, I've been trained. I believe if you're going to operate a piece of machinery that has the potential to be dangerous, you need to be well-trained. You need to know how to handle it. I remember these photographs from the 50s where school children were trained in school using firearms. You know?
Yep.
Very different culture back then, you know? But I appreciate your position on that, Dave. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That would probably lead me to the next question, because you were talking about things that we teach in school. How do you feel about the current school system in New York State?
Where do you want to start?
you could swear. It's uncensored show.
Okay. I'll try not to. My mother always said, if you can't say anything without swearing, you know, you're not doing it right. But she's since passed on, so she can't hear me. So, but she's probably listening somewhere. When you think about how much we spend per student per capita in New York State, I think we have the highest in the country. And what are we teaching the kids? I mean, you look at what's happening with the colleges. You know, with, we were talking about Israel before. There was I think it was at Harvard, or one of the schools, they had a video camera. They had the posters of the kids that were kidnapped and being held hostage. and three people just came down and ripped them down. There's no respect anymore. And, you know, that I blame on the parents as well. There are parents who just sort of leave it to the schools to teach them. There are schools who just take it upon themselves to teach the kids about life with no concern for the parents. You know, you look at the problems we had with the school boards, like down in Virginia, in that area, where the cops came in to stifle the parents who were trying to find out what was going on in the school. There's got to be better communication, and the parents have to get more involved. The schools have the kids longer than the parents do, and that's an issue that I have, that I don't know how involved some parents are getting, but we're just teaching the wrong things. I don't think we should be teaching gender identification in kindergarten. You know, we should be teaching the ABC and you know, play with the kid because he's cool. You know, you should be learning fun and games and things like that. Kids don't have a chance to be kids anymore. We're forcing them to grow up too early.
Yeah, for sure. That whole gender ideology and all that kind of stuff. I mean, when I was in high school, we had health class. I think I had health class in 11th grade. You know, we might have covered sex education for, you know, a class. I mean, that's something really that should be left, you know, up to the parents' discretion, not the schools. It's insane. You know,
exactly right.
There's so many
kids
walking around.
Yeah, and you know, you wonder why kids are so frustrated, why there's violence in the schools. You know, it's because the kids are confused. You know, they don't know what they're doing. The schools are not helping. That's as you said, you're 100% right. That's got to be up to the parents. It's like religion. You know, you can't teach religion in the school. You shouldn't be teaching a sexual identity in the school. That's something that's a little more personal. I can understand counselors. That's fine. If you're having a question, you can go speak to the counselor. But you should not have someone telling you, hey, you know, you could be a woman. You know, you could be a guy. You could be this or that.
Right.
And it's just insane. One of the other things when we talk about, when we talk about violence in school, you know, it's sin when you have violence like in a high school. And then you hear all the kids say, oh, you know, we knew he would do something. We always knew he would, you know, flip out, or he or she would flip out or do something. You know, these kids are red flags. We should be doing something in the earlier years when they're pink flags. Identify the loners. Identify the bullies and counsel them so that they don't grow up to be red flags. you dip it in the bud, get them early, counsel them. That's where I would spend my time and efforts and money. If you're going to counsel a kid, teach him not to bully, you know, help him acclimate in school and not be a loner.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. And I think, you know, sticking to an education that gears towards, spend your time gearing towards things that help you build a profession and a skill, you know, not about social manipulation, but about building your skills and your knowledge so that you can have a good profession and be functional in society, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I'm a big proponent of is trade schools. College is not for everybody. You know, you have so many kids that are you know, they a mechanic. I mean, you have, if your parent was a mechanic, you've learned how to fix a car and do an oil change by the time you're 9 years old probably. There are people that have skills and they're not necessarily related to college. And you look at plumbers, electricians, you know, all these labor skills. These people are all making six figures. I mean, they're good paying jobs. They're quality jobs. And we need more and more service people like that. We need plumbers. We need carpenters. The other thing is, it can't be automated and it can't be farmed out. You can't have a robot build your house. You need people to do these skills. There'll always be a job.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to use the AI for everything, which is, you know, kind of terrifying. I mean, it's one thing to have your burger at McDonald's made by AI, but to have your house built by it, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Yeah, that's AI is scary. The problem we have is that technology is always 20 years ahead of man's psychology. We build something, and then it takes us a while to figure out what to do with it. And that's where we are with AI. And it'll be more evil than it will before it's more productive.
Yeah, not to mention the amount of spying. Not to mention the amount of spying that goes on with it. And I'll give you an example. I was somewhere the other day, and there was four of us, and there was one person that wasn't there. And the guys were talking about, they were talking about cracks, and they were talking, you know, the shoes, and they were talking about hunting stuff. Well, the person that wasn't there sends us a text and said, what the heck were you guys talking about? All of a sudden, my Facebook feed is being filled with hunting stuff. And the scary part is she wasn't even there. I'm like, how in the world does that even happen? Are they linking to, like, people's emails and stuff, too? It's like, what? You know?
Well, if you've ever noticed, think about the fact that your phones are always on. There's always somebody listening, or the phone is always listening. If you're having a discussion about something, let's say we started talking about Cary Grant. You know, you look at your phone, it's going to be one of the top three things when you first go to a search engine.
I've got an article on one of my websites, got some videos from years ago, I mean from like 5-7 years ago, that's entitled U.S. and Chinese Governments Spy on Citizens by Remotely Enabling Cell Phone Microphones. And people, it's amazing. It's not really amazing to me because I know how this works, but big media isn't talking about this besides the first time they brought it up. So you'd have to go searching for these obscure videos that were on 7 years ago. But the technology to remotely and secretly enable your cell phone microphone was built in and engineered into the phone. And this is a violation of privacy. But that was done intentionally. That's engineered into the phone. So there's cooperation between government. Yeah.
Wasn't there a case with the Apple phones a few years ago about that? That they didn't want to allow the government to get into somebody's phone. The government wanted to get a code and get into their phone, and Apple wouldn't allow it. Something along those lines.
Something about controlling the phone. I think I don't remember the details of it. You know, but this is something about I don't know if this is almost a decade old now, but they reported on this. I mean, this was on the big news, like Fox News and Travel Alert and other stations, that they can remotely enable cell phone microphones. And this has been engineered into the technology of the phone with intention. It was engineered into the phone. So,
well, that's why I always keep my locator off. When you were talking before about paying by palm, I would never do that. I don't pay by phone, you know, and I don't like using the chip on my credit card. I mean, it's too easy to spend money these days. You know,
It's hard to get away from it, but we're going to go to another commercial, but I wanted to add something on that. My iPad, if I am using my iPad and something gets louder, like say, I don't know, I turn on a hairdryer, my iPad volume automatically turns up. And I'm thinking, when I first got this iPad, I'm like, what in the world is going on? But see, it's listening to the volume, so you know that it's listening to you. So we're going to go to another commercial. And then, Dave, when we come back, we have some more questions for you, okay? So just hang tight. Diane and Russ, delivering the truth, exposing the lies. We'll be back in 3 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Here's a video I saw making rounds on social media. Listen, I don't even know if this guy's being serious or not. I don't. But it's making the rounds, and people are paying attention to it. It's a guy. I want you to listen to the whole thing. It is a guy suggesting basically that work is for suckers. I want you to listen to this air quote hot take. Check this out and watch your blood boil.
There's an influx of people who are quitting their jobs because they realize that they no longer want to work. And I love that for us. I'm a part of that. I quit my job because I don't want to work anymore. But then there are people who are like, yeah, quit your job and then start your own business. And I'm like, baby, you're not getting it. I don't want to work. I don't want to work, period. I don't want to work for you. I don't want to work for me. I don't want to work for anyone. Like, working, it's working is the issue. It's not who you work for. It's working. Why do we work? Why do we need money? Money is such a middleman. You just use money to get stuff. Why can't we just get the stuff? I don't want to have a business because I don't want to charge.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together. Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with...
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, that is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take...
Ay, 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 le chupacabra, ¿por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged?
This is real, y'all. This is real. This is really happening. This is real, y'all.
Y'all, this is for real, y'all. This is for real. This is for real. This is Brooklyn, y'all.
Okay, guys, there?
I'm here.
I didn't even mute you guys, and you were so quiet. Sometimes you hear you talking in the background. You were well behaved. Well played.
Trying to be
so
polite. Exactly. We're very respectful of you, Diana. That's why. We learned at an early age how important respect is.
Yeah, at least some people have. I can think of a few people that haven't. But anyway, so Russ, you have a question for Dave.
I'm kind of looking at the list of things that you posted, too, and I think, you know, there's so many problems and things that you can go over and talk about. But I guess what really comes to my mind is I like what you said earlier about giving people freedom back. And I think when you give people their freedom, they innovate. When you give up your right to make decisions to government, they're always going to make worse decisions than you are for yourself. And if people have the freedom to make their own decisions, give them the freedom to innovate, and then they solve problems. They will bring more money to the economy. They will innovate, and I think generally work harder with freedom. But if you count down on them, they generally don't, because it's very discouraging to live in a society like that. But my question, I guess, to you would be, what does that look like on a local level? How do you start moving a local government in that direction?
You're absolutely right about that, and that's when we get back to going back to what we talk about in schools. People are being taught what to think and not how to think. When you teach people how to think, it expands their thought process, it expands their creativity, and you're absolutely right. They are creative. They are innovative. It's just, again, giving the people the opportunity, cutting the taxes, making sure they have enough money to provide, making sure they just have the freedom to do things, that the roads work. If you don't know me, Russ, so Diana could probably relate to this. On my personal Facebook page, I try to bring out the best in everybody every day. When we're all at our best, we can all do great things. And it's just accentuating the positive in people. It's bickering. It's not fighting. It's especially at the local level, there's no room for politics. It shouldn't be left versus right. It should be right versus wrong. And working together, and we work together, we can all do great things. And it's just trying to get that sense of community back, that sense of togetherness. And it's a tough fight, but we got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, I saw one of the questions on here about healthcare, and I'm kind of like, I've always been of the mind that says, if you improve the economy, healthcare takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are making money, they have better jobs, they can take care of themselves, they can pay their bills, they can improve their quality of life. What are your thoughts?
Well, the other thing I think is competition with healthcare providers. I think you have certain providers that are sectioned off in different parts of the country. I don't know if that's by plan or not. If I had to guess, I would say it was to cut down on competition. But I think if you open it up to more to competition, more providers, they naturally bring the price down. It's healthcare obviously isn't what it used to be. It's when you've got an accountant telling you whether or not you are going to get treatment. We have problems. It's a business. And when profit is job one and the first thing on their mind, we're going to have problems. So my father was a surgeon, and he was old school. He was, if people couldn't pay, I remember him coming home with trays of lasagna and boxes of cookies as payment, and loving it, you know, and so did I, because, you know, they were good cooks back then. But now it's just, you know, if you look at your health care bill and there's a procedure that's $36,000 for something stupid, and then the hospital agrees to take $10,000 and the insurance company pays $5,000, you know, they inflate mm-hmm. the cost so that they get what they want. So they get yeah. What it actually costs. But it's inflated. It's just a game that's being played, and the people lose.
Yeah, yeah, the people always lose. You know, I'd love to see healthcare turned into a results-based system where, because right now you've got kind of, it seems like, tell me what you think, but it seems like you have kind of a monopoly. Like with the whole COVID thing, there was a certain treatment with certain things that were made by certain companies that were the only things allowed to be used. However,
right.
there mm-hmm. were all kinds of other things out there that you can use that are more effective, more safe, that they aren't allowed to use. And so you're artificially yep. creating a monopoly on these particular products, I think. What do you think?
Of course, but that was the plan. You know, it's just there was no profit margin in a natural cure or in a homeopathic cure. You know, this was, first of all, you know, transparency. I never believed in the vaccine. I never got the COVID vaccine because we were the test cases. We were the guinea pigs. I think the fastest that a vaccine ever came to market was 1960, if I'm not mistaken. It was for mumps, and it took 5 years of testing. You know, we were the test cases, and that's why so many people are having problems as a result of the vaccines. And now they say, oh, we're coming out with a new and improved vaccine, you know, for COVID 20 or 21 or whatever else is coming down the line. But it always follow the money. You know, who made the money? Who got the profits?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
When you let people
have
freedom to innovate. Yeah. Yeah, when you let people have freedom to innovate, I mean, I know I'm in the herbal industry, and we know mm-hmm. we do all our work based on science. I mean, you can do just about anything you want to do with your health based on science. And if you let that – and where the FDA is just constantly clamping down, even my own business, the company that we used to write literature for as a third party, the FDA clamped down on them, and as a result, they caused us where we had to take down almost 200,000 web pages that were filled with information of referenced information about clinical studies, journal references, all about herbs and natural nutrition that helps everything, including viral or bacterial and all kinds of issues. We had to take those web pages down because of the pressure that this company was getting from the government. So there's your artificial monopoly in a sense. We're not even allowed to, the people aren't even allowed to have access to this knowledge. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's happening now that they're forcing people away from fossil fuel. You know, they're trying to, in New York State, you can't put a gas stove in a new home, in a new constructed home anymore. And natural gas is so much cheaper than oil.
When
government directs you towards what to do, you're losing your freedom. You're giving up your freedom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And even some of the buses in this area are starting to go now to to the electric, you know, type of bullshit. But I want to go back a second on what you were talking about with the pharmaceutical. I mean, think about this. And I'll use Roswell. Everybody knows who Roswell is, as an example. Do you really think that they would allow the natural cures for cancer to be released because there are them? What would happen to it? It's going to go out of business? I mean, they're not going to have Ride for Roswell anymore. There's so much money in pharmaceuticals. They don't want people well because they make their profit off of sick people. You understand what I mean? I mean, when I was in the heart of my Lyme disease, I never did antibiotics when I found out what it was. Of course, it was 3 years later, but I did colloidal silver IVs. People thought I was off my damn rocker when I did that. But guess what? It worked, right?
Yeah.
So I'll get off my soapbox there so we can get back
on.
No,
that's okay. I'll jump up there with you for a minute. You're absolutely right. There's no money in a cure. The money is in treatment.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's
and
just
there's,
like
there's
the old
natural cures for everything.
The old, years
yeah.
ago, the old street
and
drug dealers would give you the first one for free. Yeah, the old street drug dealers would give you the first one for free because they knew they'd get you on the comeback.
Yeah, of course. And you know, we're talking about homeopathics here, and that's what I'm trained in is homeopathy. And I'll tell you, homeopathy, that's been around for, you know, a long time. You know, what do you think they based pharmaceutical medicine off of? Extracts of homeopathy, extracts of plants. So, anyway, back to your little county over there. We were talking about, you know, the electric cars and that. What is your plan for, like, the infrastructure in your area? Do you have a plan for that?
As far as electric cars or whatnot, or just, as I said, whatever you're going to drive, you should have a good road to drive on. All right? And they started paving the roads. It's amazing how many things happen that the government does a month or two before the election. It's just, you know, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. But so many things happen right before an election to say, oh, look, this is what I did, because they bank on the short attention span of the voter. You know, the voter, are so distracted in life that it's just, this is why I hate politics. And one of the reasons I'm running is for the people who have lost their faith in government, to restore that faith, to let them know, you know, I'm just a regular guy. You know, I pay my bills. I'm not rich. And well, you know, my lights work. I've got food in the refrigerator. When I close the door at night, I'm on the inside. So I am truly rich to that extent. But it's just got to be about taking care of the regular guy. I mean, electric cars, it's an inevitability. You're going to have charging stations that you're going to have to set up. I'm not crazy about the electric cars with the cobalt that they're mining. There's not enough in the world to build for the batteries. And electric cars that have those batteries have exploded, and the fires just keep burning. I mean, it's not as bad as a tire fire, but it's just, again, the psychology is not caught up to the technology. It's somebody else needed money. And that's, you know, I hate to sound like a conspiracist, but, you know, the whole thing with Solyndra during the Obama years, when we gave $800 million to this solar company, and then they went under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have solar panels, and it makes a difference. It absolutely does. My electric bill is basically what I'm paying each month for the solar panels. I'm paying down the panels, and that's my electric bill. So to that extent, yeah, I think it's great. But on something widespread, I don't know if you can do a solar town, you know, without covering how many hundreds of square miles with solar panels. It's just, it's not practical.
No.
Yeah,
the whole thing that concerns me too
is electric car, like you mentioned, the fires. There are so many fires taking place. They're very hard to put out. Plus, what happens in New York State or any northern state when you're caught in a traffic jam and for a couple hours or a few hours, your battery runs out, right? And it's freezing cold out.
Yeah.
And there's you're in big trouble. You've got a huge disaster that's five times worse than it would be if you had gasoline. You know, it's just
absolutely right.
It seems like a movement towards decentralized power is what it looks like to me. The movement and the push to electric cars really is so incredibly impractical. It's really about taking power away from the individual person, because gasoline has power. You put a few gallons in, there's a lot of energy. You can cover a lot of distance. With electricity, you know, they try to push it as clean fuel, but you're burning something somewhere at some point. It's just not close to you. It's not coming out of your muffler. It's coming out of a smokestack somewhere else. So, you know,
right, and then if you're an environmentalist, the irony is, if you're an environmentalist talking about how much it's going to save the planet, look at how they're tearing up the earth to mine the cobalt for all these batteries. Nobody talks about that end of it.
The lithium batteries are, I mean, they destroy, and then the conditions. I mean, it has nothing to do with the environment. When you really do an analysis of it, I mean, it's just moving backwards. But again, taking power away from the people is more important to the people who are running the show, which is why I think it's great to have somebody like you in office. And I've often said to my local, here in Maine, we have selectmen, you know, and I told local selectmen, I would vote for you as president than you know, 99% of the people who've run in the last 20 years. You know, I'd rather have somebody with common sense, without corruption, without special interest, who just wants to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but sadly, by the time they get to that level, what I call professional politics, you know, and running for president and whatnot, the special interests have already infiltrated. You know, they've already tapped in, and you're already in somebody's pocket.
Pretty much our whole assembly and Senate in New York State, all bought and paid for the most part.
Exactly right. The best that money can buy, right? No, and that's what's so important about keeping politics out of the local level. This is where people have the greatest access. This is where if somebody calls, I'm going to answer. You're not going to get my third secretary. You're not going to get, you know, my 14th assistant down the line. You're going to get me. And if you send me an email, I'm going to answer the email. If you call, you're going to get me calling back. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get a senator calling you back. You're going to get one of his aides.
Right.
This is the level at which you have the greatest access and where it makes the most difference. This is the level at which it affects you the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Now, did you have more questions you want me to run there, Diane, or do you have some there?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of, like, ones that are local. I guess this kind of list that I came up with here, kind of not all local. Well, I guess, how do you feel about our taxes?
They're too high, and we have to cut spending. You have to cut frivolous spending. As I said at the top of this program, when you look at the price of everything, you know, when you can control taxes to the point where the last year our supervisor, Jen DeSena, had an 11% tax cut on the board that the Democrats voted down. They voted against it. The Democrats controlled the board 4-3. They voted against it and then came back and said, oh, we've got a 5% tax cut for you. Look at what we did for you. Not talking about the 6% they left on the table. This year, Supervisor DeSena has a 10% tax cut planned for next year's budget and a surplus. Just by cutting frivolous spending with no diminishment in service, just by cutting frivolous spending and tightening the belt. And it just takes a keen eye. And, you know, we all have to balance our checkbooks. Government should have to as well. You know, I can't, if my credit card is maxed out, you know, I can't just tell the bank, oh, yeah, I need another, you know, $500,000. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, like government does. At some point, you know, well, at any point, you owe fiscal responsibility to the people who put you in office. We work for the people. It's not the other way around. And I think that's what's forgotten. As I said, the people take an oath of party and forgot that they're supposed to take an oath of office. And it's about public service, and it's about giving the people the best possible service at the lowest possible price.
Incredible idea today, you know, because today all we can think of is corruption. And it's like the principles that you're talking about, I love. you know, that when you hold an office, you respect the office. You respect what it's about. You respect what it stands for because you know that it has integrity. What an incredible country that would be, wouldn't it?
Well, we have to start somewhere. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I would never take corporate money. You know, I was very grateful for the $10, $25, and $50 donations that I got. And, you know, I got to a point where I bought signs. I did some advertising. I told people I didn't need any more donations. I go, I don't need a war chest. I needed the signs. I needed some money for advertising. That was it. You know, I had enough. I don't need $50,000. I ran this campaign probably on less than $10,000.
Wow. What should local people do?
People have better things to do with their money than give it to me.
Well, we're going to give it to Ukraine. Oh, wait a minute. What's the flag of the day? It's Israel. Now we're going to give it to Israel. So, you know, that's where your money's going.
Right, exactly. Absolutely right. If you have money to spend, give it to a worthwhile cause. Give it to a local charity. You know, give it to some children's charity. One of the things that I've been fortunate enough in this town, I grew up in Jersey City, which was sort of a spread out town. It was almost like the sixth borough of Manhattan. When I came out here to Long Island, to Port Washington, it was the first real sense of community that I got. You know, people looked out for each other. I remember in my kid's school, one of the mothers was sick, and a couple of the other moms said, okay, Thursday, you're going to do laundry. Thursday night, you're cooking dinner. Well, Friday, you're doing this, bang, 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 bang. And it really hit me that that's the way life was supposed to be, that we're supposed to be looking out for each other. So I've been involved in the community for 36 years. I never say no to charity. I belong to every club there is in town, just about. You know, if I can't be there in person, at least I'm giving them the money to do what they need to do. Do you have any kids listening to this show? You have children listening?
Not typically. It's more of an adult show.
Probably not. Okay. I'm Santa Claus in town. I didn't want to ruin their dreams.
I could actually do that.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's life is good. You give back. And that's my mantra. And that's the way it should be. Life has been good. This town has been very good to me. It's an opportunity for me to give back.
Good. So you have about 90 seconds. So it's election day and you're standing at the door and people are walking in and out and somebody comes up to you and wants you to convince them why, in a nutshell, in about 60 seconds, why they should vote for you.
All right. Very simple. I'm looking to cut taxes. I'm looking to give people back control of their lives financially and make sure that the town is secure enough that they feel comfortable walking down the block, that they're not looking over their shoulder. I want to make sure that the services we're supposed to provide are there for them. Clean streets, clean water, workable streets, drivable streets, clean sidewalks. Just, I'm here because there are too many people that have lost faith in government. When you have more people who vote for American Idol than for American president, we've got a problem with government. We've got a problem with society. We've got to start somewhere, and we've got to fix it. The local level is where people have the most access. Call me. I'm going to answer. And actually, when I speak to people, I would rather listen than speak because I need to know what they need. It's about them. It's not about me.
Good answer. Good answer. Russ, anything that you want to add?
No, great. It was just a pleasure talking to you, and people need to know what they need to do to get you to where you need to be, I guess.
This vote, I mean, it's at this point, as I said, you know, don't need any donations. I've got my signs. I've got everything I need. I need people to get out and vote. I need people to remember that it's important. If you want to control your destiny, if you want to control your future, you have to be involved. You can't just sit back. And that it's, you know, for the people in my party, it's okay to be a Republican. you're not going to get yelled at. You're not going to get hammered for your beliefs. Just go out and do what you believe in, and that's about it. And be free.
So give us your website in case anybody wants to go to the website.
Okay, it's franklinforcouncil.com, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N-F-O-R, Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, all one word, .com.
Great. Easy enough. So we totally appreciate you being on the show, and it was Russ's first time on the show as my co-host tonight. And
you were very
gentle.
Right?
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
We didn't beat you up too much at all.
Yeah, no,
great to be on radio. I tell you've been in radio. That's fantastic.
My mother always said I had a face for radio. So the pleasure was absolutely mine. I thank you for your time. I thank everybody who listened. And just wherever you are on election day, get out and vote. Make a difference. It's up to you. If you don't vote, you can't complain. You have the opportunity in your hands. Make it happen. Make a difference.
Yeah.
Franklin,
and there's a lot of keyboard warriors that do nothing but sit behind their keyboard.
Exactly.
So anyway, all of our radio shows can be heard on Apple Podcasts, on iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Freedomizer Radio. And I missed one here. Maybe I didn't. Did I say iHeartRadio? I did.
Yeah.
I can always tell when I'm getting tired. I start to get diarrhea of the mouth. So next week, we don't have a guest next week, but it's going to be Russ and I one-on-one next week to, we're going to kind of get the feel for each other and get moving on what we're going to get moving on with this show. So, Russ, anything that you want to add? We got about 1 minute before we have to wrap up the show.
Pleasure talking with you. I like the things that you said, and I really hope people get out and check out your website, franklinforcouncil.com, and get people like you and you yourself into positions where you can actually get us back to where we're supposed to be, because we are so far off the mark. So thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate it. Real pleasure talking to you today.
It's my pleasure, and it's an honor to have the opportunity. Thank you both again for your time.
Perfect, Dave. And then once this is up, it'll be up within about 24 hours, usually by tomorrow morning. I'll be sure that I send it to you, and you can put it on your website or whatever it is you want to do with it. So everybody, everybody have a good week. We will be back next week, Diana and Russ, delivering the truth, exposing the lies. We'll see you next week at 7:30 p.m. Russ, you there?
Yep, still here.
Okay. So everybody have a good night, and be good to each other. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.